You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM.
And welcome to Elevated Radio. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host, and welcome to another great show with Dr. David G. Young. This one's called Parasites and Worms in Humans in Developed Countries. Ah, it's a great topic. Can't wait to get things started today. Again, Dr. David G. Young is our guest. He is the owner over at, I'll give you all his information, at All Natural Doctor. If you want to reach out to him, located out of Battleground, Washington, go to allnaturaldoctor.com. That's allnaturaldoctor.com. You got to spell it all out. Don't use the DR for doctor. It's the full word. You can also contact him by phone. More than happy to take your calls and get you started in getting you healthy at 360-687-3340. And Dr. David G. Young, welcome back, and how are you today?
Just fine. Delicious topic, right?
Yeah, can't wait. I can't wait for dinner later. It's going to be great.
Yes.
hey, before we get started here, Doctor, I know we've been talking for about a month now, but there's always that opportunity of new people hearing you for the first time. Just give them a little bit of your background and what you do as the owner at All Natural Doctor.
There are four primary doctors licensed to give primary care. Allopathic, osteopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, the all and an opathic. Allopathic is your common medical doctor. He prescribes basically drugs and surgery. A naturopathic is exactly the opposite. We avoid drugs and surgery and try to do all natural instead, because all natural medicines do not harm,
right,
but drugs do.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you kind of live, so to speak, right?
Well, yeah, my whole life is focused around that.
Right. All right. So let's jump into it, because, you know, let's face it, we've had some interesting discussions over the past few weeks. But this one's going to be a little bit different, isn't it?
I'm saving the yummy one for later.
All right. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about parasites and worms in the human body in developed countries.
Well, first of all, I want to mention that I wrote a book, and the reason why I wrote a book, because in 1999 I wrote an informational medical website for the poor people of the world, mm-hmm. so they had a place to turn to. And I called that naturopathic-physician.com, which I still own that title today, but now I also call it allnaturaldoctor.com. If a person were to go to my website, allnaturaldoctor.com, and click on hover over resources, click on metal topics, you'll find an index. That's the original index I began in 1999 and been updating ever since. Two of the topics on the index was parasites and worms. This got to be quite interesting because I was getting calls from all over the United States and foreign countries, and people were complaining. They really felt they had a parasite or worm. But they went to the doctor. They said there's no such thing as parasites, worms in developed countries. It's all in your head.
Okay.
Or they would say, my doctor doesn't want to hear me anymore. He doesn't want to see me anymore. And so I started treating the people that wanted to drive to me. I started treating them in my clinic. And I'm a little worried because I have to keep a sanitized clinic. And these people are coming in infested, but I'm treating them. And then most of the work is take-home work, to take herbal formulas. And I develop all these herbal formula protocols, which are now listed in the book. But I would write them down by longhand. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I discovered this has taken a long time, and I really want to keep my clinic clean. So if I wrote a book, then possibly they could treat themselves at home, and that'd be so much better. So I began the idea of the book in 2013, and again in 2015, I completed it.
Right.
And that way, it doesn't matter if the doctor told them it's all in your head. They can get my book. They can read the. I have 13 parasites and worms listed with pictures and how to treat at home for the common mom and dad, how to treat at home. And I decided to do kind of a crossfire method of training, so it also is applicable to medical students and doctors that can read this book, but it works for anybody. And I've gotten calls from Germany and Italy and France and England,
mm-hmm.
and I hope they speak English because they only sell in an English book, but I really believe I've done some good for the people by producing this book, and it also makes me feel better that I can keep my clinic clean.
All right. Well, that's good. So shall we jump into the parasites and worms?
Yes, we should.
Into the bucket of parasites and worms. Okay, here we go.
Okay. So the question is, are parasites and worms really a threat in developed countries? There is a lady doctor who's deceased now. Her name was Hazel, H-A-Z-E-L, Parcells, P-A-R-C-E-L-L-S. She was a D.C., an N.D., and a Ph.D. She was born in 1889 and died in 1996 at 106 years old. She knew a lot of information about parasites. She knew something because she lived to be 106. So she made this quote, "Make no mistake about it. Worms are the most toxic agents in the human body. They are one of the primary underlying causes of disease and are the most basic cause of a compromised immune system," unquote. So the problem we have with my patients calling up, or potential patients calling up, is mainstream medicine fails to recognize it could even be a problem in a developed country.
Right.
They think it's only a third world country problem. And if and when they recognize it, then they use drug therapy, which has limitations and very negative side effects. And another problem is that we like to point fingers at other people, not at us. So citizens in developed countries usually like to think parasites and worms are only a third world population problem, but it can't possibly be us. But in the United States alone, and I have these references in my book,
okay,
United States diarrheal diseases is quoted as saying that it's a third major cause of sickness and death, and diarrheal diseases caused by parasites are considered the greatest single worldwide cause of illnesses and death. And so when we progress, you will see that there's some parasites that 85% of the people that have it might be asymptomatic, means no symptoms, or
right,
two-thirds, 60%, no symptoms. And so anybody can be host to parasites and not even aware of it.
Right.
Now, one thing we do, we're traveling all over the world. It's so easy to travel and see other countries. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But we bring things back with us. And armed forces, they're not in good places. They bring things back with us. And if we have time, we'll talk about World War II studies.
Right.
And then the United States has seen a tremendous increase in migration from foreign countries. That brings in parasites. And then daycare facilities, that is a great way to spread parasites.
Right.
And so it's very real in our world. It can't be overlooked.
And I think that's been pointed out when you see, you know, something like a tapeworm. You know, that comes out of people and you're just like, and that's disgusting, though very cool for somebody else to have it, because it's like, ooh, you get to look at it, but you don't want that stuff coming out of you, but
no, you don't.
You know, that's an example of something right there that can really happen to anyone.
I cover tapeworms in pretty good detail in my book, but I'd like to give a couple examples just so the listeners can get an idea of what we're talking about.
All right. Now, what kind of examples should we prepare ourselves for this?
Well, don't eat dinner immediately after the show. Okay?
Okay,
wait for a while.
All right, good. Let's dive into it.
Let's talk about three parasites. Three of the 13 I list in my book. I try to list the most common parasites. Let's talk about pinworms, Giardia, and then an amoeba.
Okay.
One particular amoeba, especially, but a pinworm. Now, the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control for the United States, they have estimated that 11.4% of American children are infested with pinworms. 11.4%. They also made the statement it can actually go up to 50% for anyone under 18 years old or you're in daycare centers. And they actually made another statement, 85% of adults in North America have at least one parasite. Pinworms are a majority. Now, I'm talking right now about pinworms.
Now what is a pinworm?
It's a very tiny little thing. You have to look at it through a microscope. It's that small.
Okay.
And when you look at a microscope, it looks like a common earthworm or nightcrawler. It just says tiny. And they live primarily in the colon. Now, the female pinworms, when they lay their eggs, they have to go outside the colon through what I'll call the back door or the backside or the exit the anus. Okay, I'll just say back door from now on or backside.
All right.
I'd rather say it that way.
Now, is this happening while you're awake, you're asleep? When the heck does this happen?
It can happen at any time, but usually during the evening hours.
Oh, my goodness.
The female comes outside and lays her eggs because the eggs need to have oxygen in order to hatch. So the eggs don't fall off. They have a very sticky substance on them, so they stick to anything. Then the female goes back in. And then those sticky little eggs, they stick to everything, underwear, bed sheets, pajamas, public room toilet seats. Isn't that a nice one?
Yeah.
And so kids from spending the night with each other, kids crawling in with their parents, that can cause a problem. But if you, adults that have pinworms, the biggest symptom of a pinworm is a really, really, really itchy back door.
Okay.
And adults learn to control themselves. And I talk to adults, they say, I can't wait to go to the bathroom and itch myself.
Right.
Kids, if they get yelled at by their parents enough, they won't touch themselves back there in public. But you sit back and watch, there's these kids scratching their backside. Okay? Now, how many kids, when they wash their hands, actually take a brush and go underneath the fingernails? Probably not very many, if any at all.
I'm going to say zero. 0.0.
I think zero. I was trying to be nice, but that's probably true. Okay, so the pinworms, you have to look at a microscope. The pinworm eggs is even a high-power microscope. So a little kid, imagine this, a little kid, you're out at the family restaurant. Little kid goes in the bathroom.
Oh, come on. You're in a restaurant now? You couldn't leave the kid at home? Oh, geez. Okay, go ahead.
I'm giving reality, right?
I know. That's the scary
part. So the kid scratches himself, gets the stuff, the eggs underneath his fingernails or his fingertips, flushes the toilet, maybe uses the sink, and goes out the door. Next person comes in. You can have pinworm eggs on the door handle, on the toilet handle for flushing, on the sink handle, and they don't even know it.
All right. Now let me ask you this about those pinworm eggs, because they're still in the egg stage.
Mm-hmm.
How long till they mature? And will they mature outside of the body?
Yes, they can. They can live outside of the body for 3 weeks.
Oh.
And so they can remain on your living room furniture. You see a dog that goes up and scratches his backside. They'll stay there viable for 3 weeks. But it doesn't take that long to hatch, but they're still viable for up to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when they hatch is that they're supposed to go back inside that back door. But if it's a female, they might go in the other area of female anatomical makeup, and if they get in there, they can affect the fallopian tubes, ovaries, and urinary tract system.
Oh, wow.
And because they're also in the colon, they can be one of the causes of appendicitis. Isn't that wonderful?
That's glorious.
Now, besides looking for a kid that's scratching their backside and knowing that's a big red flag,
mm-hmm.
if pinworms are a sugar-loving worm, they crave lots of sweets and simple carbohydrates. If somebody's really craving lots of sweets and simple carbohydrates, they might have a pinworm.
Right.
And the life expectancy of pinworms is 5 to 13 weeks, and in the 5 to 13 weeks, a single female can lay 11,000 to 16,000 eggs.
Oh, my goodness. And that's they're laying them outside of the body, though.
Yes, where it's itching and scratching and causing intense itching.
Yeah. Now, because you would normally, at least for an adult, associate that itching and that scratching with maybe hemorrhoids or something.
That could be, yes. That very well could be, but you don't know for sure.
Right. So if someone would say, I think that's what my issue is, and they grab something like a Preparation H, does that have the potential, if it is the eggs, would that have the potential to kill them?
No.
No?
No, it will not.
All right.
You could use alcohol and dislodge them, but it will not kill them.
Now, how do you get rid of them?
I have remedial protocols I wrote in my book that uses herbal tinctures, and herbal tinctures is very, very important to get the right quality.
Mm-hmm.
But herbal tinctures you can take whenever you want to take them, and the reason why I use herbal tinctures is because it's perfectly safe to do it at any time that you want.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that, for instance, let's jump forward a little bit to dogs and cats and how that works.
Okay.
Because in our farm, Jeannie and I have dogs, cats, horses, cow, sheep, and they all like to be mouthy. They're mm-hmm. emotional.
Right.
Okay. And I deworm all of my farm animals once every 6 months, and I deworm us once every 6 months. And all the protocols that I taught patients are in the book. So it's easy to read the book. I refer people specifically to a place called Bartle Herbal Specialty in Utah, and there's a reason why I do that, because they have to have quality. It's extremely important.
Okay.
But, see, you can take the herbal tinctures at any time, and it's perfectly safe. So I just take it as preventative medicine because I don't want to go down that road.
Right. Okay.
But so for people that have dogs and cats, there's a branch of science called parasitic zoonosis. That's like a zoo, and that means parasites are transmitted from pets to people.
Mm-hmm.
And pediatricians, what they see most often are roundworms and tapeworms and hookworms that have been transmitted from a dog to a kid.
Right.
And like in just 1 week, two puppies that are infested with roundworms can shed more than 2 million eggs in a backyard that's about 50 by 60 feet, which is a round backyard. And those roundworm eggs remain alive and viable in the soil for 10 years.
Wow.
Isn't that like a lot?
That's amazing. 10 years?
Yes, 10 years. So I'm going to jump around from what I thought I would, how I'd present this, but I want to discuss, because of time, quality uh-huh. herbal tinctures is extremely important. In 1990s to 2000s, it was really easy for me as a doctor to find herbal medicine that would treat parasites, but then okay. it became very difficult to find. And the reason, I believe, is because we take the attitude in a developed country, it could never happen to us, as all the other guys are getting this.
Right.
And when I, in my book, when I refer to this particular company, there's a reason for it. And the reason is this. There are basically five levels of quality out there as far as herbal medicines are concerned. I'm going to say it carefully so I don't get into trouble. The first is the potentially fake stuff over the Internet. So not everything is fake, but some is, and some is might be wonderful, but you just don't know which ones.
Right.
The next level up would be potentially fake at discount stores. What I'm going to do for that is I'm going to read a topic from the New York Attorney General's office in about 1 minute to let you decide.
Okay.
The next one is herbs that are grown commercially using fertilizer and herbicides. Now, the weeds are eradicated. The fertilizers are right there at the roots. You have a nice, healthy plant.
Right.
The next level up, level four, would be organically grown. It's still commercially grown, but the growers, they make a statement, say, okay, we will not use any of these things, but they're really inspected for compliance, but they say we will not use any of these things, but they're still using organic fertilizers. Roots do not have to go very deep.
Right.
The last one is called Wildcrafted, and this particular company I referred to, they're family-run. I have no financial interest in them, so I'm not saying this for any other reason other than they're the highest quality.
Right.
They have several acres. They go out, and they have things growing in places where they did not fertilize. And they just pick a little bit here, a little bit there, so they don't kill the whole crop.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? Those roots, because they have not been artificially, they have not been fertilized, they have to go deep into the soil to get the nutrition. So in preparation for medical school, you have to take, in college, organic chemistry. It's probably the hardest class you're ever going to take.
Right.
In one of my upper levels of organic chemistry, we actually took chemicals and made ascorbic acid in the lab. That's technically vitamin C.
Okay.
Now compare that to squeezing a nice, ripe, fresh orange and getting orange juice in that. We do not know everything there is in nature, but we do know that there's other things that nature has provided that enhance the set of ascorbic acid and vitamin C.
Right.
Now I want to tell you the, hang on your seat, put on your seatbelt here.
Okay.
This is information. I'm just the messenger here, okay? One of the companies I deal with is Thorne Research. They gave me this email in February 2015, and it's well known throughout everybody in my field. And this is, I'm going to quote right now, quote. It's about 60 seconds to take this quote. There have been a number of recent items in the media regarding dietary supplements. Most recently, the media has reported on the New York Attorney General's office delivering cease and desist letters to four major retailers,
okay.
Target, GNC, Walgreens, and Walmart, to stop selling, remember I'm just the messenger, to stop selling certain dietary supplements. The action in New York was taken in response to an investigation conducted by the Attorney General in which 78 bottles of popular botanical supplements as herbs were obtained off the shelves of these retailers and subjected to DNA barcode analysis.
Okay.
The analysis has been claimed to determine that many of the sampled products contain ingredients other than those listed on the label, and in some cases revealed the major ingredients were not even there in the first place.
Ah.
Unquote.
Okay.
So why I'm saying this is because getting rid of parasites naturally is difficult. If somebody tries a shortcut by buying something cheaper, it's not going to work. They're going to blame me. My book isn't any good. So I'd like to divert over to my first show about 1 month ago today. Diabetes. Remember I talked about chromium picolinate?
Oh, of course. Yes.
And chromium in this, and I want to do a follow-up on that. And I've had some patients come to me afterwards that have been on this for a few months now. And I said, take the chromium picolinate from Metagenics. It works. So they did. Hemoglobin A1C may have been 8.5, and it dropped in about 3 months down to 5.9. That's great. Then they come to me and say, well, wait, my hemoglobin's back gone back up again. It's 8.5. Why is it? I said, well, are you still taking the chromium? Yes. Where are you getting it from? Well, we ran out of the one source from Metagenics. My wife got it from another source, which is advertised really good. But, you know, the information I gave on that seminar was that there's only a few companies that are aware there's different grades of picolinate, and they are taking the grade the body rejects. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing applies to herbal medicines for the parasites. If you don't take the ones I recommend, and remember, I have no financial interest in that company, right. I give all the details. I say, go to this company, order this, this, and this, and take this, this, and this. You know, it's all outlined. But if they don't take, I suggest it's not going to work. So there's a couple of key points to let you soak in for a bit here.
Right.
Do you want to go back to, you want to talk about testing?
Yeah, because I know that's something, you know, how are you supposed to know that you've got one of these worms or these parasites? And aren't there certain types of parasites that are actually good for the body?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
we can discuss that a little bit. It's in that last part of my book. There's actually some research being done with whipworms, and they're trying to purposely infect people with whipworms, get rid of GI tract problems, but that's really backwards. But let me tell you about testing, because I've personally done this.
Okay.
There is a testing called ova and parasite testing. We use a microscope. This is the most popular form of testing. And I've done this in the clinic. So a person's got to bring in a stool sample. Mm-hmm. Okay. They bring in about a 2-pound chunk of, you know, stool sample wrapped in tinfoil. I've got to open up on my desk. And I only need a tiny little bit to put them on the microscope slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stain it. And I look for fluorescence coming off. No fluorescence. Okay, no, let's dig in there a little bit more over this side. Pull it out. Nope. Third time, okay, I'm done. the nose plugs come off, I'm right. done for the day, okay? But the problem is that in your best day, you're able to, of those stool sample tests, if you're really good, you're going to catch about 20%. It means 80% is caught, not caught. Now, there's 1,000 species of parasites that can affect the human body, but there's only tests available of 40 or 50.
Wow. Okay.
So you do the math, it means that we're testing as doctors only for about 5%, but you do the math, you're missing 80%. What it boils down to, the math, you're testing for about 1%. And so you see, that's the reason why I think conventional medicine says, no deal. It's all in your head.
Right.
Because it's not being tested for, but the beauty of doing herbal supplements with high quality. I'll give you an example. We've got a farm, and we have some poor people coming in and take milk from our Jersey Milking Cow. They wanted to thank us, and they invited us over for dinner. There's not much money, and so they make a meal as best as can be had for people that don't have a lot of wealth. And then when they got done eating, they put the plates on the floor and let the dogs eat the plates. And I said, do you do this all the time? I said, yeah, we don't have to use as much soap and water.
Okay.
So the beauty of the herbal stuff, if you think there's a problem, you can take it right now. It's not going to hurt you.
Right.
The most it's going to toss you is the price of buying the product, and it's not that bad. So that's the testing part.
All right. So now, and again, but the testing is limited because, like you said, it comes down to a very small percentile.
1%.
1%. That's not a lot. So what if you come across something, you know, where you can't see, you know, maybe you're feeling tired, there's a skin rash, but, you know, there's no test to kind of, you know, find that particular parasite.
There are several parasites that are in the world. They all have different symptoms. Mm-hmm. Some are GI symptoms, some are brain symptoms. I would hope that the viewers would, or the listeners would talk, look up amoeba. I'd like to discuss the amoeba Aegeria fowleri, if I may.
Yeah. Now, what is that?
It's amoeba, it's a single cell. It's rare, but it makes the news when it happens.
Right.
And I want to talk about that, so I can lead into other amoeba. I'm watching the clock here.
Okay.
So it only happens in fresh, warm water. The water needs to be about 77 degrees. So in the southern states, it's all year round. In the northern states, only when the temperature warms up and you're close to the shore, so the water gets warm.
Okay.
This amoeba, Aegeria fowleri, it has to get into the nose. If you swallow, it's not a big deal. But if it gets in the nose, it'll attach to the olfactory nerve where you smell, migrates to the olfactory bulb, and eventually migrates to the brain. It takes about 5 days to migrate. But once it's in the brain, it actually eats the brain cells, and death is within 1 to 12 days. So here's the statistics.
Oh, wow.
In the United States, it's not common, but I want to read you the statistics. Between in the United States, between 2004 and 2012, there are 34 infections, 32 are fatal. Worldwide, between 62 and 2012, 132 infections, 131 are fatal. Now, that's just for this one amoeba. But there's other amoeba that will not do this, but amoeba, pork worms from pigs, and trichinella from pigs, they have a life cycle called a cyst. And there's some parasites that can cross the blood-brain barrier and some cannot.
Right.
If they cross the blood-brain barrier, part of the life cycle is developing a cyst to stay preserved. And the amoeba cyst will be microscopic, but the tapeworm cyst could be 1 to 2 centimeters. Now, look at a ruler, and don't look at the millimeters, look at the centimeters. Now, if it gets in the brain, imagine those big cysts in your brain and crowding out brain tissues. Okay, so what's going to happen is you're going to get brain symptoms, depending upon where it is, but you're going to get brain symptoms like confusion or lack of attention to people or loss of balance, hallucinations, seizures. It could be very serious.
Right.
If it's only reserved to the gut, then you get different symptoms. But like the roundworm, for instance, it was estimated that there's, I think it's 580 million people worldwide. Let me get to that section. I think it's 500, a lot of people worldwide that are infected with roundworms.
Right.
And only 15% are symptomatic. So multiply that large number by, multiply so you get that 85% asymptomatic. And the biggest thing about roundworms is that they actually eat all your good nutrients. And so you're not healthy. You get things like anemia, B12 deficiency anemia, iron deficiency anemia, and these are all real problems. Would I have time to go over Giardia by any chance?
Yeah, definitely. Let's get it in. Now, what is Giardia?
Giardia is a parasite that they say is mostly from beavers. And I want to go over that because I actually contracted that.
Really?
Yes.
Now, how common is something like that? Because when you're saying it comes through beavers, I've looked around where I live a long time here, doctor. Not a lot of beavers.
Well, then good for you.
Yeah, I think we're lucky.
But in 2013, it was estimated 280 million people had active symptoms.
Really?
And two-thirds... This is worldwide, and two-thirds were asymptomatic, so take the 280 million times three. Okay, it's mostly come from the beaver because the beaver live in the water, and they poop in the water. And we're backpacking. And, oh, by the way, deer, cattle, sheep, horses, they drink the water, they get it. It's from contaminated feces.
Okay.
So we're backpacking up in the area of Oregon. And it's a beautiful creek. It's lots of rapids. The water looks crystal clear, so we drink right out of the water. Why not? It's got to be clean.
Right, yeah, you would think.
Okay, so we went up, we continued hiking, and about another mile, we found this beautiful beaver dam and beaver home, and it was the neatest thing to see, the live beaver. Then we got sick.
Wow.
And the symptoms of an acute Giardia is violent diarrhea. And when you have violent diarrhea, you have severe dehydration. when you have severe dehydration, you have severe loss of electrolytes, and that is needed for nerve and muscle function. Now, luckily, we had a mild infestation. It was dissolved in 4 to 6 weeks, but heavy infestations can last for a very long time, and since it's GI-related, you will get upset stomach or abdominal cramps. Lots of gas, you know, I could use it for better gas mileage in a car, I suppose. Violent diarrhea. That's the giardia, and that's a pretty big deal. But in my book, I list 13, and I wish I had time to go over all of them. I was prepared, but we don't have time. If people want to get my book, it's very educational.
Yeah,
the biggest thing is...
Yeah, let me just announce that the book is available on allnaturaldoctor.com. Once you get to that website, you just hover over where it says My Book. You'll see it. Click on that. It'll take you to the page, Parasites and Worms in Humans. Simple yet comprehensive, safe, and effective educational protocols using herbal medicines. It's by our guest, Dr. David G. Young. He is the owner over at All Natural Doctor. If you do want to reach out to him, again, the best way to do it, I think, is definitely going to the website. Go to allnaturaldoctor.com. You can also reach out to him by phone at 360-687-3340. But again, look into that book. Right, Doctor?
You've got it.
All right. You can also buy it on Amazon. So if you're like, I forgot what the website is, just go to Amazon, put in Parasites and Worms. It'll take you right to Dr. David G. Young's book. You can purchase that right there on Amazon.com. There's also a link on the website, allnaturaldoctor.com. And lots of great and scary stuff today, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Have a nice lunch.
You too. We'll be back with more on Elevated Radio right after these words.
Okay.
You're locked into Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio FM.